Hey there, this is Seth Juarez from Channel 9 coming to you from our wonderful studios. I'm here with the awesome Steve Lasker. How are you doing, bud?
I'm doing good.
Fantastic. So we have some fantastic whale pictures behind
us. We do.
There's this cool thing called Docker. Could you give us sort of a brief overview of what it is and why it's important? Not too long, because we've talked about it a lot, but I think it's important to sort of to get a review.
Yeah, so Docker is a containerization strategy. And the whole idea is that we probably all experience, I'm trying to deploy my app into some environment, and of course they have to match, and or I'm trying to update an environment. Mm-hmm. The whole idea is now I don't deploy things into an environment, I deploy my code with the environment. So now everything's bundled, and I just say, hey, next environment, run this set of containers, and everything's packaged up with it. So it really makes the whole deployment much easier, much more stable, much more reliable.
That's fun, but then we can't say it works on my machine when people say it doesn't work, right? So you're actually packaging environment and code. It feels like it's a better way to actually manage production stuff.
It really is, because now the production people don't need to know the details. This is why the container metaphor is so good. Nobody cares what's in the container. They care, it's this thing. I need to get it on a boat, get it from point A to point B. I might have to plug in power. No care whether it's running Node or Go or ASP.NET or any details. I just have to run it. And because you could argue that's maybe what a VM is.
Sure.
But with containers, they're built for quick spin up. Containers start in like seconds. So I can sit there and say, compose up and then run 1,000 instances of a container in seconds. Where you would put those on VMs, the VM would host all these containers. So it's really good. It's really optimized for that whole production deployment scenario.
So I've heard this term microservices. What does that have to do with sort of containerization?
Yeah, so if you think of microservices are a way to take small pieces of my app, and that's a unit of deployment. Instead of having to deploy these microservices into different VMs, you basically, the container can be the container of each one of those microservices. So now, if I want to spin up lots of microservices, I just spin up lots of containers of this service and that service. So it's not a one-to-one, but they definitely work great together.
And that's awesome, because you might have particular code or particular services that run this particular kind of code with these particular dependencies, whereas you have this other thing that's running other dependencies, and so it makes containerization a really good play.
Yeah. And it makes the whole intermixture of what OS that I'm targeting easy. I might have some containers that are using, or some services that are Linux. I might use a Redis cache, I might use MongoDB, I might use SQL Server. My app might be on different technologies, and the whole idea is just spin these containers up, they can communicate with each other. They don't need to know much about the details of them, and that's one of the benefits.
So as a developer, I'm traditionally a Visual Studio kind of guy. It feels like a lot of dark art magic stuff going on, and I hear it, and I know I need to be doing this, but as a Visual Studio developer, how do I even get started with this kind of thing?
Yeah. So there's a lot of great docs on the Docker site, and there's a lot of great information out there. But the reality is, there's a lot of details there. So one of the things we wanted to do in Visual Studio was make this easier for developers. Let's take a look at what we have here. So we do have an ASP.NET 5, or Core, mm-hmm. as it's called. Right now I'm using the RC1 bits here. And the idea is that I want to be able to run this and test this in a container. But let's first look at what it looks like normally. So I've just taken this app, and I've done a little bit of tweaks to it just to kind of show off some of the things. So we're going to spin this up under IIS Express, right? The default scenario, mm-hmm. we're all are normal and love, and we can see it says localhost. And that'll come up, and I'm just going to click on the About page here that I've done a little bit of changes to show what's my host name. I can see my laptop. What's the OS? From an OS perspective, it thinks it's Windows, it refers to it as Windows NT. And my environment is the development environment. And of course, I might want to make changes, and so I could come over here to Visual Studio, we'll come down to the views, and I might make a change to this view, and I can just add something in here, like it might just be, I'll just add something here that says garbage, for instance, because I'm going to make a mistake intentionally here. And I'll save this, and I'm still running under the debugger, right? So when I come over here, I can see that, right? I get this edit and refresh experience we refer to. And I get a nice verbose explanation, and I can expand this out. Not something you would want to show at production time, right?
Correct.
This is just my debugging environment. So you can kind of see the behavior that I get. And this is normal. Now, if I ran this in release mode, we'll see that the way the environment is being set, we'll see what happens here. So I'll run this again. And this time, we'll see it still says development, and I'm still seeing this development behavior, right? So I'm already starting to see a little bit of differences. But I actually want to target my target OS. Now, in this case, I'm actually going to run this in Linux.
Okay.
I might want to target Windows, and with Windows Nano, that is going to be different behavior a little bit than my Windows 10 client. So I'm going to do is, well, actually, before that, let me just point out, we did have, or we still do, have this publish experience.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what we released last year, and developers can take their completed apps and then publish them into a container. And we can help you provision containers in Azure, and you can get started there.
I see. So in essence, there's going to be a machine already hopefully up in the cloud that has a bunch of containerization already built in, and you're just going to publish to one of those containers.
Right. Okay. In fact, we'll even help you provision that host in Azure too, because it turns out that gets a little complex
sure.
with certs and so forth that you need to have a secured connection. But we got a lot of feedback that developers wanted to be able to do more than just a Docker run. They might want to do Docker Compose to spin up multiple containers. They might be using Vagrant. So there is not as much flexibility. So we talked about doing more options in the UI. But when we talked to developers that were actually using Docker, like on Linux and Mac and doing Node and Go, they do a lot of stuff in scripts. Mm-hmm. And that's what we wanted to do, is we wanted to enable them with these scripts to do things. But we wanted to prime them with those.
So let's pause right there. You talked about two commands. One was Docker Compose, and the other was Docker Up, was it?
Docker Compose.
Docker Compose, and then there was one more, Docker Run.
So Docker, there's a couple of things here. We can drop over here. So there's Docker, which is the base command, and I can say Docker PS and see the containers that are running. Docker Images, which is the list of images that are available that I think of as VHDs sitting dormant. And then I would say Docker run a particular image name, and it would then run that image. Then there's Docker compose, which is around spinning up multiple containers at
Got
a
it.
Single time, and it knows how to link them together. So that's the idea. Think of singular or an environment.
Which is fairly complex, right? And again, I'm just a Visual Studio person that has been doing this a certain way.
Yeah.
So how? All right, you were probably going to show us.
Yeah,
how
well, this is the point is, you know, there's a lot of stuff there, and you have to remember that you have to learn how to spell and
yeah,
all those kind of details.
Which I'm horrible at.
So what we've done here is we've gone and we say add Docker support. And what we'll do is we'll add the files that you would need for the base. So we want to make sure that you can get started by default very easily, but you're not going to hit glass ceilings.
Okay.
We want to give you the artifacts you need to get started, and then you can just edit them to continue from there. So what we've done is we've added a Docker file, both a debug and release version of it, and we'll look at the release one just for simplicity here,
mm-hmm.
from an ASP.NET RC1 image, copy my project to the container image that I'm about to build, set the image directory, run a DNU restore. This is how
yeah.
I restore the NuGet packages. Then copy the app, and then run DNX. This is the entry point. Now, the ordering that we've done that is actually very important, because what we want to do, and it's more important here, for that edit and refresh scenario, we want to make sure that every time you hit F5, we don't want you to have to go through the pain of rebuilding the entire image.
Sure.
Docker, if you noticed when I said Docker images here, there's a lot of them. And what they do is they have a layering system so that you don't have to start from scratch every time.
I see.
Imagine you were trying to install SQL Server and you know all the things you have to put underneath it, right? Imagine you just want to do this last part and you're changing that last top layer. I don't have to start
yeah.
over. I take that snapshot and go from there. All right, so let's just hit F5 and we'll run this here. Notice, let me switch back over to debug because we were there before. And notice that what we have now is we have Docker as an entry point, not just
mm-hmm.
IIS Express. So I'll start that up, and what we'll do is we're going to do a build. We'll actually do a Docker build. It'll build up that container, and because I've already got some of those cache layers, it runs pretty quick. And now what we're doing is we're actually spinning up that container. In fact, if we come over here and say Docker PS, we'll see that status. All right, so let's see. There we go. So it was created 3 seconds ago. It's now running, and it's now the Visual Studio tools, this PowerShell script, is saying, hey, are you running yet? Are you running yet? Are you running yet?
I see.
And when it does, it will pop open a browser. And you know, this is still early with ASP.NET, and we are using this DNX watch, so we get edit and refresh scenarios.
Uh-huh.
So we're performance is something we're working on. So
yeah, but I mean, it's I'm thinking about this. It's actually you're not spinning up a VM, but you're spinning up a sort of a micro kind of VM that's doing a whole bunch of other things. So I mean, I would expect this to take a while. But my question to you then is the edit and refresh experience going to take a while as well?
No. Well, yes and no. That's the part where I'm referring to the perf. So notice it's now up. When those dots started appearing, the container was already running.
Okay.
So that's just getting the ASP.NET runtime spun up inside the container that's already running and just making sure it's responding. So now we have our app. Notice mm-hmm. our URL is another host. And if I click about, you'll notice that my host name and OS are now blank. But you will notice that, and our error is somewhat clean.
Yeah.
So let's kind of take a look at some code here. This is a perfect example. Now, the first thing we'll do actually is just show our edit and refresh scenarios. So let's go back to about. And I'm going to say, hello, running from a container, and I'm saving it here. And now if I look, I immediately have that in the container.
That's cool.
So just as the same way I have that edit and refresh under IIS Express, I can get that in containers as well. We do want the other pieces to work. It's great. Let's go take a look here. Now it turns out there's a perfect example here is our controller here. I was getting an environment variable for OS and computer name. Turns out, in Linux, that's not the right environment variable. I need to go and grab this one, which is uh-huh. one of the ones that I found, just an example of things. And it's not computer name, it's host name. So I'll save these. We'll come back over here and we'll refresh that. And it is going to rebuild here for a second. But if we look, here's a perfect example of what it means to target and have to deal with different OSs. My app is always going to run under Linux.
Sure.
I happen to be building it on Windows because I happen to like the Visual Studio environment.
Sure.
I don't want to have to write all my code that is constantly dealing with these differences.
Right.
So by running it in a container during my development mode, I'm actually targeting my production environment.
And just to add even more to that, because at first blush, you're looking at this and you're thinking, it's the same thing. But it's not, because in this case, you're actually putting it into a siloed environment that's going to be the exact bit for bit almost,
exactly.
environment that it's going to be running on. And so there is going to be no sort of mystery bug, right? Because you're running it in the actual environment. Because if I understand correct, these Docker Compose and these Docker files, you can actually tell it what kind of environment to run in
as well. Exactly.
So it's a lot more than just the same thing.
It's the target OS, so now notice it refreshed here. Notice it now shows Ubuntu, so it now knows the right OS. Our host name is now some not random, but unique number, because there's going to be lots of these
sure,
things.
Sure.
We don't want to have names in there. And we have our code. And if we,
The error?
Yeah. Oh, but we still have our error. So wait a second. So let me come back over here, and now, so now we're seeing that we can do the edit and refresh scenario. We can see that now I can run in the container and get the behavior of the OS, like you said.
Right.
But there's this other aspect of, we often hear from customers that, again, works on my machine,
mm-hmm.
and that's because the developer had some default variable in their config file, and it goes to production, and in production it can't find IIS Express or something, right? So as a pattern, we want to use the same principles for, in this case, environment variables. So let's take a look at the compose file. So in Docker, they have this compose file, which is where I can specify multiple containers. And in this case, I'm saying build this service, these are called services at the root here, from this Docker file, set up these ports, use this environment, and let's actually put another environment in here for hosting. that spelling problem again,
mm-hmm.
equals development. And then in our release compose file, we'll say hosting environment equals, well, let's not do that. Let's actually say production, which ASP.NET would default to it if it doesn't have it, but we're just going to put it there for the sake of it.
And just for clarity's sake, this YML file is defining sort of a compose function. Well, a compose that's going to stand up a VM or a container.
It's the definition of how my containers should run as a collection.
Okay.
And there's lots of other features in here around linking containers together. There's lots of cool stuff in here.
So my confusion is when you're running this particular app, it's only one container, right?
In this case, we're starting with just one app and it's one container. But some of the feedback we got was, don't just give me run because I'm starting in a hello world of one container, but I am going to run multiple. I might run a MongoDB that I'm just running an image.
Oh, I see. So in this case, you might have a bunch of other services that it's dependent on, and you want to be able to stand the whole sort
exactly.
of mini environment up.
Exactly. Got so it. It could be SQL Express, could be MongoDB, or it could be another project that I have in my solution that's
okay.
my API project.
Oh, I see. So you're literally emulating the actual environment because you might have an API thing. That's going to go in this container. This is going to go in the other container. Okay, that's
exactly.
awesome.
Now, to point out something here, the way we got that edit and refresh is we're doing a volume mount from the container that's running on my machine to the host, and the host is then redirecting to the same directory that Visual Studio is editing the files. So that's how we're able to mount our code. All right, so we set up the hosting environment here. Let's just run this again. And we'll spin this up a second time. This time, the compose file has our hosting environment variable set. And we did it in both debug and release and the appropriate behavior here. So let that run up.
So as it's running, is this something that people can use now?
So yes, this is a release we just did. This experience, I mean, honestly, developers can do this themselves today. What we're doing is we're giving them tooling around it so they don't have to do this all from scratch.
Right.
And we want to build the Visual Studio integration in so that you get F5, you get the debugging experience, you get the edit and refresh experience, so you don't have to stitch this all together by, you know, at command line by yourself.
So for me, who I'm a Docker noob and I want to actually do this stuff, you're actually going to give me all the files that I need, and that way I can go and say, oh, I wonder what this file is, and then you can go research what it is, and then you can
exactly.
put the right things in there. That's awesome.
So we look here, and now we'll see that we did set it to be development. We've still got the Ubuntu image. Now we're seeing our verbose error string, so we're getting the mm-hmm. behavior. And if we now switch to release mode, what it will do is it will map to the release compose file. So now we won't set up the volume mapping. We'll build the image with the production configuration,
mm-hmm.
and we'll be able to test that as we want it to be in our production environment. Now, the model that we do here is we're trying to set up that full CI workflow. And developers often ask us, like, well, what is the workflow with Docker? Because we're used to building code, compiling our code in each environment, and then merging in our configuration and so forth. Mm-hmm. But with Docker, what you get to do is you build your code locally, you test it in a container, you're going to check it in, and then the integration system would build it in a container again, test it, and if it passes its tests, it takes the image that it built and puts that in a registry. And now you spin up those images in other environments and you're not recompiling code.
That's interesting because now it's almost as if the environment is being built by the developer. And then that environment's being pushed up, being checked, made sure it's okay. And then instead of having to say, let's rebuild this and let's do that, you actually have the thing with the environment, your app with the environment, ready to just go wherever.
Right, right.
That's awesome.
So, and now we'll see that we happen to notice, great, we got clean error strings, but if you notice really close there, it looks like we have a little bit of a formatting issue.
Yeah.
So I've actually was able to catch that here because I'm still in my development mode. my development environment, but I'm able to emulate that production behavior and find those errors that are there.
Because we wouldn't have never found this because we would have got the regular development sort of,
right.
That's cool.
So, and I'm really mimicking the configuration that we set in production, right? So I'm not doing special app setting JSON things, you know, for development and expecting production to take it up in another way. So yeah, that's kind of the basic model, and it's.
So as I'm a developer, right, and I want to go and I want to set some breakpoints, I want to do some other things. Is that something you can do as well?
Yes. Yeah, so we kind of taken an iterative approach with this.
Got it.
We first wanted to be able to run your code in containers.
Yeah.
And that's what we did with the publish experience that we shipped last year. Sure. And of course, people can do this themselves. We then got the feedback, all right, I want to be able to develop in a container. So our first step was to give the edit and refresh experience, which is what you see here.
And you did that by mounting the volume.
Mounting the volume, using DNX watch, and then understanding all the pieces to get that work. Because there's lots of details,
yeah.
Like spaces and tabs in the wrong places. So we really wanted to help remove all of those pains and blockers.
Got it.
The next thing we are working is, you know, if you're a Visual Studio developer, you expect to be able to set breakpoints and inspect things and watch and all those things. And that's the next iteration of things that we're doing.
So now that you're talking about we're looking forward to the future, what are some other things that you'd like to see in this particular sort of workflow?
Yeah, so we spent a lot of time talking to customers and hearing their pain points. And to your point of the CI systems going through the environment, you know, they'll build it in dev and they'll, you know, like Node, they'll do an NPM install and they'll get, you know, the latest and they're testing it. Then later on, an NPM install grabs a newer one which is incompatible, and that's, you know, could be a problem. So the fact that they can lock an image where they've tested it and now they're just instancing it, that's a big deal. The next piece is around, you know, we talked a little bit around the environment, what I call location-specific information. There's mm-hmm. behavior and location. That's the way I kind of think about it, right?
Sure.
I was able to test the development and production behavior, release behavior, but I want to be able to say when I'm running here, use these connection strings. These are where things, my resources
yeah, of course,
are, right?
Of course.
But in the integration environment, you want to run this up. Well, you need to run this other instance, which I might have spun up, or I might be referencing an Azure storage queue, which we're not spinning up new mm-hmm. ones, we're talking to them. And then in each environment, you want to be able to specify those environment variables. Well, you want to also be able to do this with secrets. So there's, you know, you don't want your secrets to be non-secret,
sure,
exposed. And if you're using environment variables for your secrets, they can be discovered because they're in the image. Mm-hmm. You can do a Docker inspect, and you can see this information in those images. So I mean, best practice, don't put secrets in your environment variables. One of the next things we're looking at, in addition to being able to complete these experiences, you know, what is the best practice for managing secrets? We want to do some stuff with Azure Key Vault, obviously. There's other stuff out there with HashiCorp Vault, and you know, there's different solutions out there. We'd like to have that experience kind of baked in by default, so people are getting the best practice to begin with. That would be one of the examples.
That's awesome. Well, it feels like there's tons more stuff that we can look forward to as yeah. well. But where can people go to find out more?
Well, so we have Docker Tools for VS. So mm-hmm. if you go to aka.ms/Docker Tools for VS, that's where you'll get this experience.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of information. You know, we have the Azure Container Service, mm-hmm. Which is in a private preview now, but you can just ask to be in there so you can start to see what it's like to deploy containers at scale in production. We're doing work in dev test labs so that people can spin up environments there. And Donovan Brown's doing some stuff with Visual Studio
Team
Services, thank you. You know, so we can use Docker in those environments as well. So there's lots of good info. We're trying to do some stuff on the Docker Tools for VS and try to point to people from there. And of course, check out more Channel 9 videos.
Absolutely. We should do more stuff on containers, man.
Yeah, I'd love to. I'll
Fantastic. Well, thanks for spending some time with us. And for those of you watching, again, if you're looking at doing containerization, here's a good way to get started with Visual Studio Tools for Docker, I believe is what it's called.
Yes.
Thanks for watching. My name is Seth Juarez. This is Channel 9, and we will see you next time. Take care.